this afternoon and prepared. I knew I couldn't preach it next week. I know some of you may not understand that, but I also knew that I wasn't going to preach it this morning. So I reckon I'm going to preach it tonight. That'll be all right, won't it? In John chapter number 9 and verse number 13, we have over the past couple of weeks looked at the first 11 verses, and 12 is kind of a transitional verse because the Pharisees are just asking a simple question. It's verse number 12 is very self-explanatory. And then verse number 13 down through the remainder of the chapter. Now, I don't think that we'll get all the way through the end of the chapter, but we might get pretty good ways and pretty far. But in John chapter 9 and verse number 13, we'll do a good bit of reading here tonight, so y'all just hang out with me for a little while. Can't have too much Bible in the message, amen? Amen. Can't have too much Bible when we go to preach. Verse number 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. That's important. There was a division among them. Anytime that you got people arguing over the deity of Christ, whether or not he's deity, there's going to be division in that group. It's still that way today. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. The one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he say to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. We'll stop reading right there. Heavenly Father, please use the word that you produced all those years ago by the hand of John as he wrote under inspiration of your Holy Spirit to help us tonight. Lord, show us what we need to see. Give us, Lord, what... Lord, just give us our daily bread. We sure need it. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I kind of gave you the main points, and so I guess I'll say those again. That way I know everybody in the room is on the same page. Amen. In case you missed that little snippet this morning. The first thing is that his faith is attacked, this man that was blind. Then his family is attacked by these Pharisees. And then his friend, the Lord Jesus, is also attacked by this same group of people. And so with those three things in mind, let's begin to look at those. Now, I want you to understand about what is happening here, what's going on in this time of the Bible. In chapter number 7 of the book of John, a interesting time begins, and we're looking at the fall or the harvest time of the year, usually around the first week of what we would call October, or what we do call October, and I apologize to you, I don't have the name of the Hebrew month written down, but that's the time of year. Chapter 7 begins the Feast of the Tabernacles, and chapter 10, about halfway through, ends that feast. So that's the time frame that we're in. We know because the Bible blatantly tells us that this was on the Sabbath day. And of course, if you remember back when John chapter number 5, when Jesus took care of the woman at the woman at the well, and then make sure I don't get my miracles mixed up here. I know that never happens to y'all. There we go. The man that had been lame for 30 some odd years, the Lord Jesus Christ, he healed him. It was also on the Sabbath day. Told him to take up his bed and go. And you guys know that story, how that began the fuss between the Pharisees and Jesus. See, they weren't upset that he was healing people, and they weren't upset that he was doing these miracles. They were upset that he was doing them on the Sabbath day, because that day had been set aside as a day of rest. What it really was is that they didn't like the works that he was doing. They didn't like that the people were turning away from them and turning to him. They didn't like and they didn't understand, and so they began to find anything they could, and the only accusation that they knew they could make against Jesus is that he done good on a day when he wasn't supposed to do anything at all. That's what's happening here. And so this is nearing the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. It is on the Sabbath day. And this man who in the first 11 verses of this chapter has been, we meet him, he's born blind. He had never seen a sunrise. He had never seen a sunset. He had never seen his mother's face, even though she now was standing at his defense and was there with his dad. And thank God for them. He had never seen his mom and dad's face. He had only known their voice. Could you imagine how that must have been? I mean, here's this man, he's just received his sight, and those precious words he had heard fall from his mother's lips time and time again, telling him how that everything was, or maybe describing things and the softness of her voice. For the very first time, because of this man named Jesus, his eyes were opened and he saw the precious face of the lady who had loved him so dearly. Or maybe the times that he had gotten in a little bit of trouble or had done something wrong and he had heard the stern voice of his father, and he had wondered what maybe dad looked like. Maybe he had touched dad's face. Maybe dad had a beard and he had felt the feeling of a beard on the face, and maybe he had felt his dad's hair and maybe the clothes he wore. I remember when I was a little boy, my daddy worked at a place that made waffles, amen? And so he'd come home a lot and he had powder on his skin. That powder smelled real sweet. And I would take my nose when I was a little boy and I'd just rub it on my daddy's arm. And I remember feeling that way and thinking, man, this is wonderful. I don't know if it gets any better than that. I know I'm smelling something, smells like sugar. And David says, son, you got to leave me alone. You about to rub my arm raw. I was just enjoying it. Amen. But here's that man that might have had that something special like that happen in his life as a young man. And for the first time in his life, The eyes that he had been born with that were degenerate and blind and could not work and did not work and would not work had been opened by the Master's touch, by this clay that he had made. And for the first time, he saw his father's face and he saw his mother's face and he saw friends and he saw all of these loved ones. And so his faith had literally become sight. He believed that Jesus would heal him, and because of this, the Lord gave him literal sight, the true ability to see. But in that moment, not only did the Lord give him the faith to have physical sight, but he had spiritual sight. And I read that to you a little while ago, and we'll talk about it here in just a moment. But here in this first thing is that his faith goes under attack. He's a brand new believer. He's just received his sight. He's seen the Lord do some incredible things. And as soon as he begins to tell the people that should believe him and should agree with him, as soon as he gets that out, they begin to scoff at his faith. So let's take a look at what they said. They brought him that was aforetime blind, and it was on the Sabbath day, and they asked him, they said, how, in verse number 15, how had you received your sight? And he said unto them, well, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. They were trying to take something that was very simple and very easy to understand and to believe and make it more complicated to fit their agenda. There are a lot of people that will call your faith into question because you didn't have the experience that they did. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is an easy thing to do if you're willing to put your faith in Him. It is an expensive faith. It costs the Lord a great deal. But He does not say, well, I'm going to give you something real hard to deal with so that you'll really believe me. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Amen. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what the Lord says to people. God doesn't expect you to believe something that sounds nearly impossible. Amen? Are y'all okay? God's not asking you to go out and do some incredible work before He'll provide you salvation. God simply requests that you believe the gospel. He doesn't want you to go out and swing out on a vine and holler boo at the devil and squirt him with a water gun. That's not what He's into. He's just simply wanting you to trust His Word. And that's what this blind man did. And so because of that, they began to question, well, what happened? And here's what they did. They began to attack the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 16, therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God. And the reason they said he's not of God is because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. They went back to their same old accusation, the only accusation they had that made any sense to them. We are in a time, I don't know if you know this or not, where there are a lot of people that believe that worshiping on Sunday is wrong because we're not observing the Sabbath. And they use an Old Testament scripture to justify their position. I'll say it like that. I understand, friend of mine, if you're that way and you're watching, I'm not condemning you, but I do think it's ironic that you care enough to be here on a Sunday evening to see what I'm going to say. Amen. And so they attack Jesus and the character of Jesus over this simple issue that really don't matter. And the reason that they attack him is because he does this on the Sabbath day, on their holy day, on their day that was set apart. I wonder what those people that believe that we're not worshiping God do with Jesus working on the Sabbath day. What do you do with it? I mean, are you a Pharisee? You keeping the law. Y'all all right?
You got the law. See, that's what we got. We got a lot of people that are depending on their knowledge and their understanding of the law. The Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The law shows us what we're doing wrong. The law shows us how we should live. The law teaches us that we cannot do salvation or create salvation or make salvation on our own. We must be born again. We must have this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ as the blind man did. We must have that encounter. And when we have that encounter, our life will be changed. They said, "This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" Oh, and there's the division. One group is saying he ain't of God. There's no way he's of God because he's working on the Sabbath day. The other one says, well, if he wasn't of God, a sinner can't do things that he's doing. So how's he doing it? How's it happening? One place we find out where they say some's casting him out in the name of Beelzebub. They tried to say, well, he's just working with the devil. They tried to cause division. And really all they did was cause division amongst themselves. See, when someone's eyes are opened, it doesn't matter where their stance is. All they know is that their eyes were open, and where they were blind, now they have the ability to see. I think we have a lot of people that want to utilize the law for their faith so that they can get glory for themselves. What good thing, the rich young ruler asked the Lord Jesus, what good thing must I do? What good thing? Well, all the laws, keep all the laws. And here's what that man said. These things have I kept from my youth up. I've always been a good little boy. I've always walked where I should walk. And yet he could not see the Son of God sitting in front of him. Oh, friend of mine, don't let the law be what you depend on. The law will have you lost. Jesus has the power to save you. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Well, he wasn't a sinner. He was the Son of God. He was the darling Son of God. He was the way that God produced. He was the only way, and he still is the only way. See, Jesus is not a way of many. He is the way. He's not just one avenue that'll get you to Grand Central Station. He's the only avenue. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Anyone that goes in through another door, they're a thief and a robber, and they can't come in. You're trusting some other way other than through and by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are not trusting anything that is able to save you. There was a division. Verse number 17 says, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He that has opened thine eyes. And this is what that man knew. This is all he knew about Jesus. One is his name was Jesus. We find out in verse number 11. In verse number 15, he put clay on his eyes and he washed it. And they said, well, who do you say of him? He said, I say he's a prophet. I say he's a prophet. More than just a prophet, friend. But yeah, you're right. And so they cannot argue with his faith. This man, regardless of their accusations and regardless of their forcefulness that they're trying to attack him with, he decides that he's going to make up his mind and say, you know what, this is Jesus. He did what he did. He's a prophet. So they can't debunk his faith. So where do they go to attack? His family. I don't know if you know this yet or not, but when you start putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the atheist that's going to run and tell you it can't be done. When you start turning to the Lord and you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to submit my life to you. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever you want me to say, it ain't going to be the people that are outside of the church that's going to tell you that you can't do that. Here's been my thing. Most of the time when I tell someone that I'm a pastor, this is the response I get. Good for you. That's the response that I get. I'm glad you are. And generally, that's followed up by, will you pray for me about? And then they'll tell me something they may even pray. And I'm okay with that. You don't ever get to take the preacher hat off. Once you put it on, it don't ever come off. Y'all all right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm running a race on a Saturday or if I am standing in the grocery store. It doesn't matter. I'm the preacher. Anywhere I go. I go to work, I'm preacher. I promise you, more of the guys, I work with about 60 guys regularly on a day-to-day basis, and just about every one of them probably don't know my first name, but they know that I'm preacher. And that's okay. This is what the Lord called me to do. I reckon I'm going to wear it till the day I die. Amen? But it's never been the people outside of the church or outside of my family that talk to me about things that can't be done, but you let me go to talking about something that don't sit well. Y'all okay? I believe the Lord wants me to do this. Well, you better watch out. I don't know. I believe the Lord wants us to go here. I remember talking with somebody that's very dear to me, and I told him, I said, I might go over there and pastor. And that person said, well, you better be careful. It wasn't here. You better be careful. I remember, and they went to telling me something that happened. It's not the people outside of the church. It's not the people that don't believe. It's the family. And consequently, those people, they have the most influence in our lives. And so their words carry a lot of weight. So here's what that little mama and daddy who had just had their baby see their face for the first time. Let's take a look at that in verse number 18. Because his family is attacked. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? I don't think that little mama, when she delivered that baby, desired that her baby be born blind. Do you? I don't think that daddy was excited when they realized that the little baby couldn't see and that they were going to have to care for him for the rest of his life and the rest of their life. I don't think they were excited about that. So this is a rather critical and harsh thing for these Pharisees to say to these parents. Don't you see it? You say he was born blind. That little mama standing there thinking, well, I didn't have anything to do with him being born blind. Of course he's blind. Of course he couldn't see. They turned his physical disability into a matter of spirituality. Can I remind you of something that Jesus said? Can I give this to you? In verse number 2, we read these words, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Here these supposed to be spiritual church leaders are questioning this lady's reality. They're questioning the dad's reality. Listen, they knew all about their son being blind. And now they're looking at them saying, you say he's blind, but maybe he wasn't really born blind. Maybe it's just something you said to get attention. No, the man was blind. And he said, or they said to her, or to them, I keep thinking of little mama, because if somebody attacked my mama like this, I'm going to come slap unglued on you. We're going to go down a dusty road, amen. I'm liable to turn in, some of you older folks get that, I'm liable to turn into dusty roads, amen, clothesline you a time or two. Some of y'all ain't get it. Some of the kids sitting there going, he's going to do what? Some of the kids sitting in here going, man, that's Skibidi, Ohio. I don't even know what that is. Woo, there it goes. I wish y'all could see Molly's face right now. It's given. No, I tried. I'm glad I'm 40. Here is this man whose parents are dealing with this harsh thing that they're dealing with, and they ask him, how is it that you see? Are you a sinner? Are they a sinner? What's going on here? And his parents said, no, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. They stood up for what was right. They weren't trying to be harsh when they said, by what means he seeth, we don't know. We don't know how his eyes got open. He's of age. You go ahead and ask him. In the next verse, we learn that if anybody confessed that Jesus is Christ, and he'd already called him a prophet in verse number 17, and if his family believed that, they would be, our word would be excommunicated. And so that means nobody would hire you. See, those Pharisees understood that they had control inadvertently over this man's life. If they could just intimidate his parents, intimidate his family, then that family that held so much sway with him would go to that man and say, well, hey, maybe you really weren't born blind. Maybe we just kind of dream this all up because, you know, your dad's going to lose his job if you don't turn this over. No, thank God for some godly parents that said, no, we don't know exactly how he got to see, but here he is seeing. The Pharisees tried to intimidate and to cause his parents to deny him and deny Christ and deny what they had known. Thank God that they stood up. And John gives us a note in verse 22 and 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. They weren't skirting around the issue. They weren't trying to get away. They weren't trying to get out from up under it. They were just simply saying, let the man answer for himself. And by the way, there is a time that comes when we have to let our children answer for themselves. Even as bad as we want to jump in, and as much as we want to stand in the gap and make up the hedge outside of our prayer life, there comes a time where we got to let them grow up. Amen. And they said, this man is of age. He's reached the age to where it's time for him to stand on his own two feet. He's just had his eyes opened. And as eyes were opened, God begins to work in his heart. And I made a mention a little while ago that he got not only physical vision, but he got spiritual vision. Verse 24, they couldn't intimidate his parents, and so they go back to attacking the character of the Lord, his friend. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Isn't it a little bit of a, I don't know exactly what word to use here to describe it, but kind of backhanded to them, give God praise. This man's been praising God since he got his sight. Amen. Come on, preacher. And now because he doesn't fit what they think it should be, then they want it to not be true. And they say, well, you give God the praise. This man's been praising God the whole time. It's these wicked Pharisees that didn't know how to praise God. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I like this, what this man said, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Oh, John Newton felt obliged to use that line in Amazing Grace. Was blind, but now I see. This man, he didn't have to know everything there was to know about Jesus. He didn't have to be a theologian or have great understanding of the law or of the scriptures or of the prophet's sayings. He just simply believed in the Lord and what the Lord said. He took him at face value. And because of that, he said, I don't know if this man is a sinner. I feel he's a pretty confident he's a prophet, amen, in verse number 17. I don't know all about him, but I do know that I was blind and now I can see. That man went from darkness to light physically and spiritually. That man went from not knowing anything and not able to care for himself to now be able to see and to know and to go of his own free will. Nobody had to lead him anywhere. Nobody had to tell him, watch out for the bump. Nobody had to tell him to just give him money and just let him sit there by the wayside begging. Nobody had to see him doing that anymore. He had been healed and changed. His life and his sight had been developed in a way that he had never, ever had before. All because of believing in Jesus. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? This is the second time they've asked him. He answered, I've told you already. I like that. This man was not intimidated by their long robes. This man was not intimidated by the prayer shawls that they wore. This man was not intimidated by the titles that were given by their friends up against their names. This man was not intimidated by the fact that they knew more scripture than he did. He only understood that he met a man named Jesus and Jesus had changed his life. And he said, I told you that I was blind and now I see. And he says, will you hear it again? And will you be his disciple? This man had done had his eyes opened. Yeah, them religious elites, those people that were supposed to get you to God, y'all right? Them people that are supposed to know how to get you to heaven, they was the very ones that needed to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if I tell you again, will you now be his disciple? They didn't like that. No, our life is the law. We don't need to be his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. There's a lot of people that are still Moses' disciple and they've never met Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the Jews in modern times. Verse number 28, the Bible says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple and we are Moses' disciple. That word revile, it simply means to be railed at, to be made fun of, an angry ridicule. It's only used a couple of other places in the New Testament. The word revile, I think it's only in like four other times or maybe just three other times, but two of those other times were with the Apostle Paul. He speaks about being reviled, and then there's another place where they reviled Paul because of his love and dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a strong word because they wanted to discredit this man. They wanted to discredit Jesus. They wanted to continue their faith in the law that could not save them. So much so that they said, we know that God spake unto Moses, But as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Jesus had already told them they didn't know where he had came from. And if they did, they had got right. I'm not going to re-preach that. We did that a couple of weeks ago. The man answered and said unto them, I think this is my favorite part of this whole story thus far. I was reading it the other night, and I've read through John 9 probably a dozen times in the past couple of weeks. And I think these next phrases that I'm about to read to you are probably my favorite part of it. Because here's a blind man. Oh, excuse me. He's not blind anymore. Here's a man who had been given his sight. He's no longer blind. He doesn't know the law. He doesn't know the Pharisees. He doesn't understand everything there is about church culture. He just got his sight. Did I say that? He just got his sight. Did I mention that? I mean, he had just been given his sight. And so here he is, who had been blind, and here's what he tells them. Why? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He's looking at the very people that are supposed to be the religious people of the day, the people that are supposed to know God. And this man who had no clue about what he was and unlearned says, this is a marvelous thing. You don't even know, and he's already changed my life. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus doesn't need your family or your church's permission to work a work in your life. Verse 31 said, now we know, he's saying, he's still speaking, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Of course, you guys know where David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Y'all read that passage? You know that. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And then that he hits them with this. This is still the blind man talking. Verse number 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? They'd never seen it on this fashion. They had never seen somebody's eyes be opened before. They had never seen this man be changed in the way that he was. And he tells them, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. I think sometimes we see the Lord move. I think about this service this morning. You was in it, you know it's real. But I wonder how many Pharisees, oh, that ain't real.
Come on, preacher.
You ever been around them ones that say, oh, that just show? I wish that the Lord would give me some insight after some services like that and show me how He orchestrated it. I didn't know that Miss Natalie got prayers answered, but she did, and that's all that matters. I didn't know who needed to come to the altar, but they were warm and full, amen. I didn't know that our youth was going to get up here and sing a song. I had no clue. We was coming down out of the choir. I said, hey, Brother David, we got any specials today? And he rattled off who we had, and I said, praise the Lord, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't have no clue, didn't have no idea. It's not about what we do. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to have free reign and let Him rule. Let Him do what He wants to do.
Amen.
And if it were not of God, He could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. So they couldn't shake his faith. They couldn't break his family. And they could attack his friend all they wanted to. And it all comes back to, we know more than you do. What a shell of an argument. Kind of reminds me of when we was little kids, somebody'd say something mean to us. They'd say, I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. They answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sins. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Which one of these do you think was really right with God? The Pharisees or the man whose eyes have been opened? And they cast him out. We can't have that kind of riffraff in the church. We can't have somebody in here talking about how good Jesus is. Man, that's the last church I want to be in. It either needs to center around Jesus or we need to hang it up and go home. Amen? They cast him out. I'm not going to stop right there. I thought I was. It's only 7:21. It'll be okay. I think McDonald's is open till midnight. Tastes great even late. You go to Burger King, you can have it your way. Wendy's is right up the street. It's old-fashioned, hot, and juicy, but so are we. Mary got it. Verse 35 says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And look what he does. He finds him. The religious might throw you out. They might get rid of you, but Jesus will find you. Why? Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even until the end of the world. He went out and he found him and he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Did y'all catch that? Thou hast both seen him. Who are we talking about here? The blind man. Jesus said, you've seen me, and not only have you seen me, but the one that's talking to you, I am the Son of God. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I can almost see the posture of this newly sighted man as he said those words, Lord, I believe. And then he bowed in worship before the Son of God. I got to preach 39, 40, and 41 by theirself. But with the good Lord's help, we'll do that next Sunday morning. What do you need from the Lord? Are you blind? I mean spiritually. Are you blind? Wouldn't it be something if God gave you spiritual sight tonight? He let you see. And for the first time, man, it wasn't just coming to church. But for the first time, you see the Lord spiritually in all of His glory. And you're wondrously born again. Put your faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. Boy, He could do some incredible things in your life. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you, Lord, as humbly as I know how, asking you to work. Lord, I ask you to move. I ask you to have your will and your way in this service tonight. Lord, no doubt every one of us in here needs some illumination and some sight on something in our life.
God, I pray that you'd give us the willingness of heart and obedience to your word to do, Lord, what you say to do. Lord, have your own way. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Would you